Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. According to the USDA, there are 95.5 million cows in the United States and 1.5 billion cows worldwide. And all of those cows all over the world are doing what cows do. Yes, they're mooing, but they're also burping and pooping. And as they pass all that gas, each cow releases about 220 pounds of methane a year. That's a gas far more potent than carbon dioxide. In fact, livestock are responsible for about 15% of all human-induced greenhouse gases worldwide. Does this mean we all have to stop drinking milk and eating cheese in order to save the planet? Okay, let's leave that conversation for another day. But we can talk about what we can do to reduce the amount of this heat-trapping gas that cows burp out. And one of the surprising answers may be seaweed. Adding a particular strain of seaweed to a cow's diet can actually make a huge difference in the amount of methane produced by these bovine belches. All of this is to say that we can see weed benefit from seaweed. Joining us to tell us if kelp is on the way is Jacqueline Robidoux, a Marine Extension Associate with the University of Maine's Sea Grant Program and a seaweed specialist. Welcome to The Takeaway, Jacqueline.
Thanks for having me, Melissa.
All right, first, are kelp and seaweed the same thing?
Yeah, so for starters, kelp is a type of seaweed, but seaweed is a broader term that actually applies to marine macroalgae, so those large algae that are going to be living in salt water or the ocean.
Okay.
Kelp is one of them.
and so this is a bit like squares and rectangles, right?
You got it. That's an analogy I use all the time. So similarly, you know, kelp is one type of seaweed, and there are many different types of kelp, which only further complicate that. But yeah, not exactly the same thing, not interchangeable.
So what role does kelp play in the ecosystems where it's found?
Yeah, so seaweed is obviously, and kelp also is super important for the marine environment. You know, it's going to be providing habitat. Specifically, kelp is a habitat forming species. So, you know, you can think of those giant kelp forests, but it also is really important for water quality. So similar to plants on land, seaweed is going to be uptaking carbon dioxide and nutrients and producing oxygen. So really important for keeping coastal ecosystem health in check.
So coastal, but then how does this end up having anything to do with all those fabulous cows?
Yeah, so where the seaweed and cow connection comes in is there's been some work on the West Coast looking at incorporating seaweed into cattle feed and cattle diets, and some really surprising results with one specific species of red algae, which is actually not a kelp, it's called Asparagopsis. And when that's incorporated into the cow feed, they see a really pretty dramatic results for methane reduction. Where kelp comes into the picture is now seeing the results of that. You know, we're starting to think about, are there other species of seaweed that, you know, might have similar methane reduction abilities when incorporated into cow feed? So we're just kind of the tip of the iceberg here with the seaweed and cow conversation.
So here's what makes me nervous. You know, Americans in particular, but not exclusively Americans, many nations around the world, like our beef, right? Maybe probably more cow than we really need to. But as soon as we need to then feed the cows and we create a market for cow feed, whatever that is, right? So whether it's, you know, in this case, you know, largely corn, those, you know, waving fields of wheat and corn and all of the things we see that really don't so much feed people as feed the cows that then feed the people. Here's where I get nervous. Do I want a market of harvesting seaweed at the same level in our delicate, you know, marine ecosystems?
So it definitely would be, you know, in order to meet the demand for cattle feed, we're talking about a pretty large seaweed market. And right now we're also really at the beginning of farming seaweed, at least for the United States. One benefit here is that seaweed is good to farm for the marine environment. You know, it doesn't require fertilizer. It doesn't require fresh water. So those things that are traditionally associated with agriculture, those really, you know, costly and environmentally costly inputs, we don't really have to deal with in the same way. So, you know, large seaweed farms are a bit different than large agriculture farms, but we are still really early on in the seaweed space here.
Wait, I can have a kelp farm?
Yes, you can. In some states in the United States, you could be a kelp farmer, Melissa.
I sort of now suddenly want to be a kelp farmer. I'm still struggling. My tomatoes are all still green on the vine today, and I'm out there singing a little song to them to redden up so I can make some tomato sauce. But I'm not sure if I've got kelp farming in me. What would it take, just if you have a sense of it, to grow and harvest seaweed or kelp?
Yeah, so I'm based in Maine, and we have a quickly growing seaweed industry here in the state. You know, we started commercial production in about 2010 and have been going since. What it takes is quite a lot. You know, I think the first thing folks should know about kelp and growing kelp is that it is actually a winter crop. So folks are out on the water in Maine winters, deploying the small seaweed seed and then letting it grow over the winter. So first and foremost, you got to like the cold. Second, you probably need a boat and, you know, a good sense of humor. And so, you know, when we think about the future of seaweed, you know, what we're seeing right now, at least in Maine, is a lot of folks who already have backgrounds on the water, whether it is lobstermen or mussel farmers or, you know, other marine businesses who are diversifying to incorporate seaweed as, you know, a winter source of income, which can sometimes be tough in states like Maine.
Yeah. As a North Carolina girl who gets, you know, seasick just on the ferry in New York, I'm going to say I'm sticking with chicken farming for now. So here we go. And tomatoes, backyard chickens and tomatoes. All right. Let's go to a quick lightning round, just because, I mean, we want a few like kelpy takeaways here. So nori or geem, that's the stuff that we used to, right, pack into sushi. It comes in those little addictive single serve packs. Is that kelp or is that seaweed?
You are so right that it is so, I find it to be super addictive. That is a seaweed. So when we think about seaweeds, they're broken down into three categories, and that has to do with their pigmentation. So there are brown algae, which is like the kelps. You know, they're habitat forming, usually large. And then there's also red algae, which that is what a nori is. Believe it or not, that green color that it gets what's in its sushi is actually what it looks like once the pigments have been cooked off. But if you were to find that in the wild, it's usually a deep purple to reddish color. So that's a red algae. And then the final category of seaweeds is actually green algae. And, you know, if you were to wander the beach in a high nutrient area, you might see some of that very vibrant green usually. So it's pretty easy to identify.
Can I eat it if I just see it as it's washing up on the beach around me?
Depends on the water quality where the seaweed is found. So, you know, seaweed is really good at uptaking nutrients, and that can work, that can be a benefit, but that can also mean that if it's in an area of low water quality, it could be uptaking some of those, you know, some of those nutrients and compounds that you might not want to eat.
So maybe then go to this point. It's, you know, described sometimes as a superfood. I'm not quite sure what a superfood is, except for, you know, my famous cornbread. But is kelp a superfood?
Yeah. So kelp does contain many compounds that are, you know, not usually available in land plants. So when you think about the concentration of marine micronutrients that seaweed has access to, just because it lives in the marine environment, there really is a lot of potential for it, you know, whether that's with iodine or vitamins. There's a lot of concentrated nutrients within seaweed. So, you know, along those lines, a little goes actually quite a long way when it comes to human diets.
Again, much like my cornbread. Okay, just I want to know on a final one here. Okay, we can eat it, although maybe not just straight off the beach, depending on your water quality. And we can potentially use it for lowering some greenhouse gas emissions if we're Maine farmers out there on the water in the cold with our good senses of humor. What else can we use seaweed and kelp for?
Yeah, so right now, most of the seaweed that's being farmed in the United States is going to food markets. And so what they are doing is, it's obviously, you know, people are a little unfamiliar with eating seaweed here. And so what we've really seen make a difference is those value-added products. And so by value-added products, I mean things like seaweed salad, seaweed kimchi. You know, we just had a seaweed burger launched here in Maine, which is really exciting. So thinking about ways of incorporating seaweed into people's diets that are exciting and a little bit more consumer friendly than just a big old plate of kelp. So, you know, we can obviously use seaweed for food, which is one of my favorite ways to interact with it. And a couple other uses too that are really, we're kind of starting to experiment with, are looking at seaweed for bioplastics, so synthesizing plastic films out of seaweed that are compostable and biodegradable. And then also on a larger scale, thinking about what is the potential for farming seaweed for biofuels. So taking the compounds within seaweed and synthesizing that into a biofuel.
Can I have seaweed in my lipstick and my toothpaste?
Another great call out. Seaweed in cosmetics and pharmaceuticals is another use for it. You know, seaweed bath bombs or seaweed health and beauty products can be really popular. You know, seaweed has for a long time been associated with youth and anti-aging, which lends itself really well to a lot of cosmetic uses. So definitely yes to that.
I really feel like you've opened up a whole new seaweed kelpie world to me today. Thanks so much for joining us on The Takeaway, Jacqueline Robidoux.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.